Hey, it's Elisa Monjadas, Managing Director of Stories Bureau, and this is my co-host, Creative Director of Stories Bureau.
Hey, everyone, I'm Corey Grushka, and this is B2B Creatively, where we want to talk about all things B2B creative, from trends to best practices, campaigns that succeeded.
So that all of us together can learn how to be to be creatively.
If you're a marketer, you'll learn how to be more creative, and if you're a creative, we're going to make you more strategic. Elisa, how are you?
I'm good.
So I'm really pumped for the audience to hear this episode. And then for the audience's benefit, this opening was recorded post hoc. Elisa, I'm sad that you weren't here for the conversation because I would have been intrigued to hear your take on some of the subjects.
I mean, AI and PR, you can't get more interesting than that.
PR, like everything else in B2B and in life, is going through a bit of an overhaul in the B2B space. And so what's your take on where it's heading?
I just saw an Instagram reel the other day about a country in Southeast Europe who has an AI mascot for the country that does all of the public announcements and also reaches out to the media to update the media on what's happening with the country. So kind of like the PR representative, speaker, and liaison, all AI generated. She, meaning the AI person, was very clear, like, I'm AI.
Yep.
This is how I work. Here's how I'm going to give announcements. Yeah, this is my process, which was cool. It's very transparent. And it was cool because she was like very serious. And I would love to see her in an interview, like with the press, like a digital interview. How cool would that be?
The problem is, I don't think AI is ready to be unleashed on the press. So we did a whole thing on mascots in B2B.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the research and the stuff we published on mascots was around, like, AI is potentially the future of mascots for B2C, but definitely for B2B. The issue is, what you're talking about is a spokesperson, which is in the comms PR space, right? But it's like AI is just generating the content for the spokesperson, and you're still closely monitoring and controlling, and a human still is posting and still mm-hmm. is reviewing. I think the ability of an AI to have a live conversation, I don't know that it's there. A brand can't trust that, you know?
Well, I mean, from a PR perspective, like, I remember back in the day, I was a PR intern at a hospital, and I would have to go on all the interviews with doctors, and I would be there like poking the doctor if the doctor said something that was like contrary to what the hospital had to say. And the doctor's perspective was like, well, this is just the truth. This is really what I think. But my job was to make sure that the doctor represented the hospital more than himself. Mm-hmm. So my concern would be, is the AI representing the facts?
Exactly. Same concept. There's so many risks. Facts. Saying something off color, just saying something that like is compromising the brand. Maybe the AI had some proprietary training materials that it
bias
was trained on.
In AI.
Bias. Anyway, look, the bomb that you dropped, this should be, I think, even its own podcast episode. Yeah. I'm really pumped for the audience to hear about it. A lot on emerging channels, a lot on AI. And I think, are we ready to cut to the conversation with Amy?
Yeah, let's hear it. I loved it.
Let's go.
My name's Amy Jackson. I'm the founder and CEO of Tailsplash. It's a PR agency that serves a lot of founders in different industries across the B2B and B2C space. We work in tech, health, lifestyle, climate, and we essentially play matchmaker for founders and journalists who are looking for sources for their stories.
So we met through a mutual client that knew you from your days at SAP, back in your SAP, right?
That's right.
Talk a little bit about the B2B experience at SAP in-house.
Yeah, so SAP was in an interesting era when I was there as part of the brand strategy team, in that they had acquired brands, they had brands that were built from the ground up within the SAP ecosystem, and they were trying to bring them all together with similar naming, messaging, storytelling. And so part of the role that I played was being on a brand strategy team that essentially positioned the different products and services within this part of the business at SAP and trying to create consistency. So we worked with all different marketing teams to help create that consistent brand voice and tone and messaging and visuals. So it was really fun.
But you were there for a while? You were there for years, or was that a short time there?
Yeah, so SAP had acquired Concur back in like 2014, I want to say. And I was at Concur leading Tripit's PR program for 8 years. Mm-hmm. So after working in three different PR agencies in the beginning of my career, I joined Tripit as their first hire to run PR internally or in-house, as we say in the PR world. And so I did that for 8 years.
Tripit's B2B, I take it.
Tripit is B2B and B2C. And maybe that's why I'm still B2B and B2C, because yeah. I was doing that with Tripit. We had a product that was a paid subscription where you got flight alerts and notifications to help you deal with disruptions as part of your frequent business travel. So that was nice. A little more of like a B2B offering, although business travelers could purchase it for themselves. It was also something that Concur's customers mm-hmm. would purchase for their frequent travelers. Mm-hmm. So Tripit became an important brand to Concur's enterprise customers because it helped drive adoption within their employees. And so they had visibility into travel plans and travel expenses. So Tripit was truly a B2C and B2B situation that I still enjoy to this day. I like when there's like multiple worlds that you're in.
I'm kind of curious, almost philosophically, but even not quite that highfalutin, like what's your take on where B2B and B2C is today? I guess, I mean, things are just changing so much. I feel like B2C is always at the tip of the spear, but B2B is coming along too, right? I mean, like it's a different way to speak to prospects and customers and the market and analysts and journalists, right? I mean, like talk a little bit about like how your thoughts, if you have thoughts on the B2B versus B2C, I'm sure you do. Yeah. Let's stay here for a while because I think I'd be interested.
Yeah, there's so many things to talk about here, but I am seeing with the companies that we work with that B2B businesses are taking inspiration from B2C brands. And I think a big part of that is social media and influencers, because like direct-to-consumer products, for example, are doing such a great job putting out video on TikTok and Instagram, and they're often really funny, and it's like very casual, not overly produced. That's working really well for D2C brands, direct to consumer, where they're like selling products and services directly on their websites. And so I'm seeing that influence carry over to some of the B2B startups we work with, and that they also want to be funny and have personality to their brand. And it makes sense when they're disrupting a space that is predominantly older, more established for companies sure. that have more rules around yep. how much fun they can have with their branded content. And so, you know, the innovative companies we work with, they have more leeway to get creative and really take inspiration from edgy, you know, B2C brand initiatives.
I've been intrigued like by that space. I think that's also like if you're going to circle opportunity areas. Like I think podcasts, as you know, as you know, like very meta. But the idea of influencer is interesting because like where I still have a hard time understanding the how it works in B2B strategy-wise, like channel-wise, you know, like the way you're speaking to them and with them and approaching them, like LinkedIn, Reddit, like Mastodon, like Twitter, you know, where is that the B2B conversation? Niche things like pods, I guess, you know?
Yeah, podcasts are something on every client of ours wish list. All of our clients want to be on podcasts. And I think there's more room for innovation in the PR industry when it comes to knowing which podcasts are a fit for your client. There's really great work being done around matchmaking between journalists and companies when journalists are looking for sources for their stories. It's just starting to become something that's used to book podcast guests. There's multiple software platforms out there that are AI powered that savvy PR professionals are using to connect their companies or clients with journalists. And we're just starting to see this same interaction around podcasts, but I think there's so much more room for opportunity because there's probably more podcasts now than there are traditional news publications, right? You could argue that, but they're growing and they're in every niche and every space. Easy to produce.
You don't have to post a blog even, you know, like.
Yeah. And so I know there's the desire to be a guest on podcasts. There's a desire to produce podcasts. And over the years, we've seen such an evolution from when we all listened to Serial, right?
Yep.
Or How I Built This. How I Built This is one of my, you know, reasons for creating Tailsplash was because I listened to so many episodes of How I Built This and got so inspired to help founders tell their stories.
The AI, is it kind of like list management, monitoring what they're doing, generative AI making recommendations about basically who to reach out to when? It's like send this email basically and probably writes it for you too. Is that like those, that's the kind of platforms that are out there?
AI is helping with the matching process. And so we create a profile for our clients, whether they are experts or they have a product, and AI helps match them up with journalists that are looking for them. And so that's a big piece of matchmaking, is relying on AI to connect the dots for you.
Let's get back to a little bit about B2B. What's your take on the industry? You know, like you have historically the trades and the broader publications and events, right? Now you're adding podcasts to it, other emerging channels, you're adding really influencer to it. But like, what's your take on the world of a trade journalist or the world of a trade publication these days versus the world of, you know, like a regular journalist that might be writing about B2B stuff? Like,
yeah, it's interesting to see the labor market and its impact on journalism and what that means for the types of stories or news that we're pitching to different types of publications. So with trade publications, for example, they typically have a smaller team. So they rely on either freelance contributors or contributed content. So there's a little more appetite for press release content, for contributed bylines or op-eds than there are in traditional media. So if you look at more mainstream newspapers, broadcasts, digital publications, they are less interested in writing company news historically than they used to be. And they are, you know, more likely to feature expert commentary from multiple companies in one article. And so that's why we are really shifting the focus of our clients to what are the topics that you have an opinion on, that you have advice to share that's currently in the news, and offering you up as a source, an expert, versus hoping that if we make an announcement about a product update or company news, that that's going to get covered by larger publications. It will get picked up by trade publications because, again, they have smaller teams. They need the content. But larger publications, they really are looking for more expertise.
More so now than in previous years is what you were saying? Like the the trend is changing in those kinds of public?
Yeah.
That's interesting. What about like in the trade, do you see the trades as an opportunity?
One of our clients, Innovation Force, does an excellent job of participating in conferences that are hosted by the same companies that write trade publications. And so, you can be a speaker at a conference and then be featured when you have news to share in the publication that they're part of. You can be a podcast guest. So it's really a relationship building exercise. And that works really well in certain verticals. So we see that work well in healthcare. We see that work well in clean energy and financial services. So if you take the time to build a relationship with some of these companies that have a trade publication and a conference and a podcast, it really will pay off.
If your brand has a personality, that is a game changer, I think, for your booth, for your merch. Like, mm-hmm. And that really could make a difference, you know, like for the way you're presenting, what you're presenting. So what is your take on, you know, so you're a B2B brand. You should be looking to kind of, you're not necessarily just going to drop product news. You're going to be involved in conversations. You're going to put yourself out there to have quotes and so forth. That's the move right now. But what's your take on kind of like storytelling and maybe how that's changed or how you see it changing when you do talk to journalists, when you do go out to journalists with pitches?
I think about what are the stories that you are relevant for that are in the news today. And in the world of AI, for example, it literally changes every day. The news cycle changes. Yeah. It never sleeps in the world of AI. So if you're in that space, you should really be following what's the news of the day and think about what is your opinion on it? What is your take? And that's a value to journalists because they're trying to make sense of what's going on when things are rapidly changing so quickly. And this has been the case since I worked in with the potato industry back in like the low carb diet era, all the way through like Silicon Valley's moment of like startups and getting coverage of, you know, what was new on like Facebook at the time. So it's a principle that's still relevant today as much as it was 20 years ago, which is follow what's in the news cycle, share your thoughts, or, you know, think about what is your take on what's in the news, because that is a way to get coverage of your brand. And that's you reading, consuming media, and having an opinion about it. And it's really your job as the expert or, you know, the leadership of the company to have that opinion. You don't want it spoon-fed to you. You really authentically need to have a point of view because that's what journalists value. And if, you know, you're controversial or provocative with that opinion, it will actually help you get more kind of space in a story. Not that we want to, you know, be too negative or create conflict necessarily, but if you have a bold point of view, it is something that journalists will want to include in their stories about what's changing in the world.
So you're thinking about PR, you're a senior leadership at a big software company, you have relationships with a bunch of influencers. How do you think about that, like utilizing your influencer as part of your PR strategy and outreach?
So a lot of times journalists are influencers themselves. So this happens in the world of B2B and B2C, and that a lot of times like freelance writers are wearing multiple hats. So they're, you know, acting as an influencer, maybe they're consulting companies, they're also contributing content to publications. And so we don't think about influencers in a silo. We think about who is perhaps an influencer that also is on-air broadcast talent or contributes to a top-tier publication. And so that's how I've, you know, worked with influencers in the past, whether it was at TripIt or with some of our clients now that are interested in doing more with influencers. You do have to be prepared to have the paid engagement conversation with influencers. So, you know, they're not all going to just, you know, hear you out for fun, but there often is, you know, a paid partnership involved. But if it's somebody that wears multiple hats, it's worth reaching out to them just like you would a journalist that's more traditional, because they might be interested in enough to like film a short video with you or, you know, help you spread the news about some, you know, launch that you're doing or even attend an event that you're hosting. That was something that was done really well when I was at SAP. I can't take credit for it, but when I was at SAP, there was a team that was bringing influencers to the conferences that SAP hosted. And all they had to do was like film content while they were there and like conduct interviews. And they could, you know, come and meet all these other companies and maybe drum up some business for themselves too.
Yeah, we have a couple clients that have done that, but I haven't thought about it broadly as like a tactic. I take it that's par for the course now with any savvy marketing department in a B2B company, in a larger B2B company these days.
I honestly don't know how many B2B companies are leveraging influencers. I think in tech, it's a good proportion, you know, that are have a larger marketing organization, they're going to be thinking about influencers. But for startups that maybe don't even have a marketing team yet, and, and that's some of the companies that we work with, they aren't necessarily thinking about influencers just yet. I think it's more of a like an advanced strategy that you think about, whether you have a PR agency helping you think about it or a larger marketing team that is, you know, including that in the marketing mix.
And in tech, are you operating more in the micro-influencer space? Or like, how does that work?
Yeah, so there's different channels that people can influence, right? YouTube is a great influencer channel for B2B and tech, especially because it lends itself to demos and reviews and things that are really supportive of what a tech brand is trying to communicate. In the B2C space, you know, we see more formal partnerships between brands and influencers. And that often looks like, you know, co-launching or doing a collab, like where you're launching a product that has both brands attached to it. So I think there's inspiration there that could make its way into the B2B space where, you know, maybe you're doing a collab. Like
how?
Like B2C brands
that's
are.
That's a really cool idea.
I don't know.
Idea.
I'm just riffing right now.
I love it. I'm into it. I'm into it. Yeah. I think this is innovation and progress.
I love it.
On a podcast. But like how? So let's think about that. How does that work? Yeah. Right? Like how do you collab with a B2B product? Maybe you take a 5% on a certain, I don't know, like, and you tell the audience that, you know what I mean? Like we're, I'm kind of co-investing in supporting this product because I believe in it so much.
Yeah. I think in the world of B2B, it is definitely an interesting idea where in order to like launch something new or sell your services in a more creative way, you bring in an influencer and they kind of co-brand it or they invest. We've seen this work with celebrities that are, that are investors in like tech startups.
Ryan Reynolds, right? I mean,
exactly.
Like,
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, you get an influencer to be an investor. It's the investor piece is how, is how you get the co-branding.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Ashton Kutcher's deep into the VC space. So you do a lot of work in the AI space, and you know, you mentioned the idea of connecting the journalists with the stories and all that stuff. Where does PR go? Forget 5 years, because like we'll probably be in the singularity in 5 years, but like in like one, you know what I mean? Have you thought about that a lot?
There's two things that we could be doing better in the world of PR. One is reporting out on results and not just like the traditional, like, here's where we got coverage for you. And, you know, we'll kind of triangulate like, oh, Google Domain Authority for, you know, the publications that you're in. AI could be making that type of reporting so much better, so much more real time and less manual and therefore less expensive. So I'm sure it's in process somewhere, but I'm definitely like on the lookout for better just results reporting and triangulating data. We get a lot of anecdotal feedback from clients. It just happened this week where I had a client that was on like a major broadcast news program in the Philippines because she was on the presidential trade mission there. And, you know, that's a new market for us. We don't do a lot of media relations in the Philippines. Because she was on like the biggest business news show there in the Philippines, she had a partner that she's been in talks with actually like see it, share it around. It became like this influential piece of content as part of their discussions. And that's really hard to measure in a spreadsheet, right? Like that impact of like putting news out or putting a LinkedIn post out. We had another client that started to talk about their new business on LinkedIn and have been like flooded by interests and demos and sales conversations. And so one piece of content, one piece of coverage can have so much impact. It's really hard to measure it in a traditional way. So maybe there's an opportunity for AI there. And then the last piece is conferences and events. All of our clients have something to offer to, you know, speak at conferences or events. And it is very manual to identify all the different conferences and speaker deadlines and proposals and what they require. It is so manual and another time-consuming PR activity that could be made much more efficient with AI. But part of it is like you have really dynamic data and it lives in really, you know, disparate places, like on the organizer's website or in an email. Like, it's not a straightforward, like, ask, you know, ChatGPT for the submission deadlines. It doesn't work.
Managing lists, I take it, is I know Salesforce and everybody that's a list is HubSpot, and others are already embedding it, obviously Microsoft and beyond. But on the writing side and on like the creative side of what you do, are you seeing it used more and more? Are you seeing more use cases?
Yeah, we have to be careful, because if we give journalists written content that's AI produced, it will not be able to be used in a story. So they can't use AI to write their articles. We can't use AI to generate responses or quotes for their stories. So we really have to follow their lead when it comes to the use of generative AI and written content in the world of journalism. The other place I've seen it used is like quickly whipping up a blog post, which I think is a great use case. I think there's still some issues with Google and what Google will, its algorithms will do with AI generated blog content. But it would be nice if that was welcomed, because blog content is a great use case for, you know, AI.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're in the process of working on a book on podcasting, and we basically put together the outline and then we talked through the outline, transcribed it, and now we're running it through AI. And we're going to acknowledge, you know what I mean, that like this is supported by ChatGPT. So we're not going to lie about that, but it's not that easy. You know, like there's so many issues there, and we have an editor that's coming in. Yeah, it's not quite there yet, you know, but it's really close. I feel like GPT-5 is going to look a lot different, you know?
Yeah, well, and a book is a great strategy for kicking off a PR program. Because even though the book incorporates AI-generated content, the fact that you are authoring a book makes you more interesting to a journalist or even a podcast producer, right?
So we've talked a lot about storytelling. We've talked on the creative side. We've talked a lot about the PR side. What are some other kind of emerging tactics, emerging channels that maybe you see the seedling of right now, or maybe you can envision? You already gave one, which was collabs in the B2B space. So all of you influencers, you should be doing collabs.
Pitch the B2B brands that you love, that you authentically use, right? I will say we are leveraging video more than we used to. Like, we're embracing video in a big way because of social media and like the influence of YouTube, and podcasts are now on video. Here we are. So we are embracing video more ourselves as an agency. And also we know our clients need help with video. And so it doesn't have to be the most polished, produced, you know, beautiful sizzle reel, but really just like video shorts for social media is something that our clients regularly ask about and that we are embracing ourselves at Tailsplash.
What are you seeing in the B2B short space on YouTube? I mean, product stuff, industry commentary.
Reels on Instagram, TikTok, all of that.
What does a B2B, let's say a more old school B2B brand that maybe hasn't gotten very creative on YouTube, not even on TikTok, what kind of shorts could you envision in the B2B space from a creative perspective? You know what I mean? Like, what a demo, like...
So demos definitely come up as something that our B2B tech clients are already producing. Like they are demo ready. So that feels like an easy starting place. But we've had conversations about, you know, what if you did the green screen where you had the demo going and you're speaking to it using the green screen functionality that you can do on like TikTok or Instagram, just to make it a little more engaging. So it's, again, borrowing inspiration from the world of B2C and thinking about, you know, making your videos a little more engaging and short, right? Short is key. And so, yeah, we're just like leaning into, for each of our clients, where are their audiences? For many of our clients, especially in the B2B space, TikTok is not where their audience is. So we are right. not necessarily prioritizing that. However, they might be on Instagram. So we work with a lot of female founders, and that is a very popular place. You know, Instagram is a very popular channel for female founders to learn from each other, to share, you know, best practices, to demonstrate, you know, ways to like market your business or tell your story and just share and like learn from each other.
I feel like I've seen shorts recently on LinkedIn. It was like an influencer that had some sway that was talking about like a particular function within the product, and it was really effective. So yeah, I feel like you're just going to see more and more creative executions, taking some of the secret sauce from B2C executions, bring it over. I'm really big on mascots. You know, mm-hmm. I think the idea from a brand perspective, I think the idea of a brand mascot is a lot of opportunity there, a lot of risk, but a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, I was talking to the PR manager from Duolingo, and they have had huge success with a costumed character, you know, with a mascot. And that was something that I used way back in the beginning of my career when we worked with the U.S. Potato Board. We had a costumed Healthy Mr. Potato Head character, and we did school assemblies. And this was way back before social media. So I can only imagine if we had social media or even YouTube totally. At the time, it would have been huge.
Yeah, listen, Amy, I really appreciate this conversation. It's a really like emergent kind of time where I think a lot of new things – new tactics, new strategies, both borrowed and net new to the world, are going to be finding their way into B2B and particularly into comms and PR. So I appreciate you, you know, giving some, throwing out some innovation ideas on this podcast and beyond. Any final thoughts from you?
Well, Corey, thank you so much for having this conversation. I learned today as we were talking about how much I value the relationship between B2B and B2C, both the role it's played in my career with the different mix of clients that we serve at Tailsplash, and what you and I talked about, which was how B2B and B2C brands can inspire each other in content and storytelling.
Do you want to let people know how they can reach you? And any final thoughts on Tailsplash even?
You can find us at tailsplash.com. We're Tailsplash on Instagram and X. We're on LinkedIn. And we always love to just talk about, you know, different ideas around PR. And so it could be that you've tried something in the past and maybe it didn't work the way you wanted, and we can kind of diagnose ways that maybe it could be better in the future. So definitely reach out. You can book time with me on our website, and we'd love to meet you.
Awesome. T-A-L-E Splash. Thank you again, Amy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Corey.
B2B Creatively is powered by Stories Bureau. This episode was produced by Alexandra Uresta with help from Mather Dillian. It was engineered and mixed by Tim Ballant and edited by Joshua Ramsey. If you like what you hear, go follow Stories Bureau on LinkedIn, where Lisa, Corey, and the rest of the team are dishing out tips all week long. Or maybe check out storiesbureau.com. Sign up for our newsletter, and that'll keep you up to date on all the latest trends and best practices in the B2B creative, design, and marketing worlds. Oh, and of course, follow us on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform to get more creative convos like this delivered straight to your feed every month. That's it for this one. So until next time, thanks for listening.